Before we get started, I just want to welcome our two student members, Shannon and Alex. Welcome to the club.
Thank you very much.
And please, anything that, just stick your hand up and we'll certainly listen, okay?
All right.
Okay. Okay, I need a motion for the approval of the minutes, please. Sal?
Yeah.
Sal, second?
Second.
Mike Timo. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Any visitors, Carol? No visitors. And Mr. Nolan, we have a presentation, correct?
Yeah, well, let's do that.
All right, let's do that first. I need a motion to go into exec for a personnel matter. Can I have a motion? Sal, second? Rob, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Just give us 5 minutes. We'll be right back. Thank you.
I said that, yeah. Whenever they do things privately, we're pretty much not allowed.
They're leaving it up to us.
Yeah.
You guys run the meeting, just go meeting
each other. Okay, I'm good with that.
You have to get the raises in first.
Thank you. How's Tyler? I didn't really see him a lot this year. That's awesome. Good for him. Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
They just left us out here dry right away, man.
They were talking about something else before, so I guess they don't want people to hear, obviously.
Discussion on some of the issues, but I'm not sure.
Oh, salary changes. I'm sure that'll be something. Advisor of Student Government, two kids like have to be on it. It's like this thing. I don't even know what it is, and I'm on it. This is from last time.
Oh, that's from last time.
Yeah. But those are the two people that are on it. I have no idea what it is. And he asked me on it. I was just like, yeah, sure.
I don't know.
I have nothing else to do. But I don't know what it is.
Thank you.
people had to pay for, like, aftercare.
Oh, well.
I mean, I get why, but I didn't know that.
I wonder why the prices are different, Seneca and every other Sagamore, Samoset, and Sequoia. Why Seneca is more expensive.
I don't know why any of them would be more expensive. It's still a kid.
So how was your week?
Busy. What about you?
Busy.
Do you work?
Yeah. I work at Fortune Off.
Okay.
So I just, like, carry large boxes back and forth. But it's actually pretty boring, but...
It's work.
How about you?
I actually just got a job. I start tomorrow, so CBS.
Where are you working? Oh, fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm a photo technician, so we'll see how that goes.
Lots of training went into that?
Well, I have 7 hours of training tomorrow, okay. So we'll see how it goes.
How about, you doing, like, college stuff?
Well, I did most of my visits last year.
Okay.
So now I'm just kind of going to apply and see where I get the most money.
What are you looking for?
Well, I want to go for nursing.
Okay.
So I'm looking at, like, Adelphi, Sacred Heart, Mount St. Mary, places like that.
Oh, you're looking to stay local?
Yeah. Because of the nursing license, then I can work in New York State and
right.
I don't have to be recertified. What about you?
I actually just started like, visiting colleges. So last week I went down to D.C. I saw GW. I went to Villanova. I went to UPenn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, lots of...
Hi.
I expect to hear some questions coming from you. You're from what, North?
Yes.
You're from East?
Yes, hi, I'm Shannon.
And you got a nice Shannon Cristiano.
Wow.
Yes.
Irish and Italian.
Irish and Italian.
And you're a senior this year?
Yes.
2016?
Yep.
And you're... What do we have, an Italian? Serve pizzas over here.
Yeah, but I don't look Italian.
Your cousin.
I don't look Italian.
I kind of look Italian.
Neither do my nieces and nephews.
They don't.
I have a niece, Susan. Her name is Susan Nicosia. Red hair, freckles, I think.
That's funny.
Well, her mother's name is Hannah, Muriel Hannah.
Are you related to Mike?
Who?
Nicosia?
Mike?
Yeah.
No,
oh, okay.
I just had pizza for dinner, actually. Did you want a slice? I could maybe,
Of
course.
Alexander?
It is not Alexander, just Alex.
Alex?
Yeah.
That's nice. See, I have a niece named Alexis.
Okay. Right.
Well, I
heard.
Wish you well.
Thank you.
I'm surprised they don't bring you in there to hear what's
yeah,
going on.
They don't.
That's because they don't want us to hear the important stuff.
Right.
Well, whatever's going on.
It's
money.
Serious. You know what it is? It's confidential material.
Yeah, about
that only they can do.
Yeah.
But you know, you're here 10 years ago. I was over here propagating, and you should have two people elected from the school.
Yeah.
Well, then, thank you very much.
No, I'm a social studies teacher from way back.
Oh, really?
So I wrote a book
right.
on government. So I can read a copy when it comes out, the second edition.
Good for
okay.
you.
Yeah.
It's gonna
congratulations.
Be school district here.
That's
it's
awesome.
A program for civics. It has all the aspects of local government that most of you don't know.
Right.
And this is about it.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a vision. It was one of the visions I had that's come to fruition. And my son saw it there for a while. the elementary school was long ago.
Oh, really?
Before you went to school. You have to understand, I'm a 63-year-old son. I'm retired. You got to hear how much I'm on. You know, I'm at the other spectrum of life, 87.
You look very good for 87. I would never believe it.
Well,
you don't look
good. Can do things that you feel a passion for, and somehow the spirit moves you.
Yeah.
That's the secret. You're going to lose, you're going to miss things. This will be the last person to have Mr. Dolan as the principal.
Yeah. I was. He's a great guy. Did a good job. Very, sociable.
And
aww.
Oh my God.
Very coincidental.
Were you his teacher?
I was a retired teacher at the time, but I was also, he was cutting the grass.
Aww.
Plumbing teacher. So as I'm going to visit this teacher to say hello, because I had him for 3 years, he's cutting grass. So I walked up, he's 15 years old.
Right.
I said, what's your name? He says, John Dolan. I says, you know Mr. Ellicott, my teacher? He says, was your teacher? Wow, that kind of stuff. So we did go up very well.
Yeah.
And it came to pass that Mr. Ellicott passed away. He got about 10 years older. He's taking care of the funeral.
Aww.
Wow.
He was 91 years old.
Right.
So that ended in 1991. In 2010, I'm in Mr. Dolan's office as the new superintendent. And then comes John Dolan to New Antonetti. Sit down, just the way you can. No, come on, John. I didn't know you were doing Smith Town,
Small world.
Small world.
My dad's Italian, mom's Irish.
What is your role if you leave your school? How many kind of things you have in the school? Is president of the classes?
Yeah, well. One thing that, as far as, regarding just to this.
I'm inviting you to your classes to talk about civics and gun, whatever.
Okay.
What was your name, sir?
I'll give you my card.
Ooh, fancy.
Because I've spoken to a lot of people.
Thank you.
That's the book I wrote, Power Not Children. That's the name of the book. All right?
Thank you very much.
Are you taking GOPO this year, or are you taking economics?
Nope, I'm taking economics.
I'm also taking economics.
I didn't push for it.
I minored in economics.
Okay.
I minored in economics, the poli sci, the sociology, and then it was education.
Yeah.
Poli sci was very interesting.
Really?
That's how I got involved politically. Hmm. Because I had an interview with one of the people in government.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I actually, I just got back from a trip. I visited George Washington University, which is right in the heart of D.C.
Yes.
And I met, a lot of great kids down there. And the funny thing is everybody, who's going to the school, they're, studying art and politics. And everybody's studying politics there. It's,
that's
you know, it's ingrained in the culture.
Your generation, if this you're at the tail end of the Covey system. And I've been espousing that from kindergarten on, children learn to interview people of leadership quality. So in kindergarten, it's likely that the best people to interview there would be a custodian, a secretary, a nurse. You just learn to ask once a month, they bring that person into the class, and you pick 10 or 15 children with a little card that says the question because they don't have no idea. Do you like your job? What made you become a nurse? What's hard about your job? How do you become a nurse? How do you become this? How do you become that? And they do that for 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
That's enough for kindergarten.
Yeah.
But they've met 10 people.
With 10 different
that,
jobs.
They look around to see where they are.
Yeah.
And they're part of the school. In first grade, you're more sophisticated. Now they bring in people, they bring in school psychologists.
Right.
They may never see one, but at least they know that that's in the school.
Yeah, the resources
work,
are available to
the
them.
The guidance. People in front of the prison, and they interview with the same kind of questions. Although, in first grade, some of those kids are a little older than others. They'll ask another question.
Right.
In second grade, they'll meet people from their immediate community, or some of the people and their parents that have important jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They come in. Now we raise it to 15 minutes, 20 minutes in second grade. what career they can take 40 miles. I've done that. I went to school here as an author. 45 minutes, it still is. And then by the time they get to 50, they meet the town people, 6th grade town people, 7th grade county, 8th grade county, 9th grade state, 10th grade state, 11th grade federal government.
It opens them up to a lot of opportunities. So I didn't try and reach you.
Get acquainted with the offices.
I saw it.
Nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you. I will. Thank you.
I need a motion to go out of exec. Sal, Vic, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're in public session now, and Mr. Nolan, we have a presentation, please.
Maybe I'll ask John Grillo and Rob Cascone to come up. In the board's packet, and we have a PowerPoint presentation to go over a proposed bond. We've been talking about a bond issue for the last few years. This complies with Department of Civil Service, Civil Rights, which is the ADA compliance, upgrading the school district, equipment purchases. There's an infusion of $3 million of the Smart School Bond into this proposal. And maybe I'll give it to John. He'll go through the PowerPoint. So in the package is the PowerPoint proposal and all the details. So maybe, John, if you want to start for now. Bill, right behind you.
Here we go. All right, tonight we're going to be presenting our findings as it relate to the capital projects that Mr. Singer had just outlined. And I just wanted to start by hitting on a couple of definitions. A capital project is defined in part by local finance law as a project that is submitted to the state education department and is in excess of $10,000. Normal routine maintenance projects, partial replacement of just ceiling tiles or window treatment or painting, is not eligible for building aid. Infrastructure is the basic structure or the features inside the building. And our building aid is available on school improvements on all school projects that are in excess of $10,000. And our building aid in Sachem is 76%, 76.6%, which means any capital project that we do within the district on any one of our school buildings, for every dollar we spend, the state is going to reimburse us 76 cents on a dollar. We have to always take care of our assets, so capital products and equipment replacement, they need to be completed by all school districts. This is nothing unique to Sachem. This is unique to all school districts on Long Island. Some of our concerns is our buildings are aging. They're from 73 to 44 years old, obviously with the exception of East and Sequoia. And it is routinely that we need to upgrade our infrastructure and do these necessary replacements. So a couple more terms, the useful life. There's always a useful life to a product, a building system or component, whether it's based on a warranty or whether it's based on how well we maintain the projects. Historically, districts make repairs through their general operating budget. It's not always the best way to do things because, again, running through your general operating budget is not eligible for building aid. And routinely, you can do small-scale projects as opposed to building-wide projects, what we're proposing here in the bond referendum. Go ahead. There's a little intermission. There we go. All right, so what steps are involved in a bond issue or a capital project? Well, first we need to survey the buildings, get our handle on what's going on, meet with the district and discuss the findings with the district, identify all of the projects necessary or recommended for upgrade or replacement, come with the initial budgets, then meet with the school district again and the Board of Education and present the findings. And then address what is the most affordable way to address the capital projects. Once we decide on that, there would either be some sort of a public vote because prior to spending any money on a capital project, the public needs to authorize that spending. We would then go into a design phase, submission to SED, and then completion of those actual projects. So how did we get to this point? We initially looked at the building condition survey, which takes place every 5 years. So in this case, we looked at the 2010 building condition survey. We met with administration. We also, in this case, because a big piece of this bond referendum is addressing many of the handicap needs that we have within the district, so we had to meet with the Office of Civil Rights of New York State. We received information from administrators, maintenance and operations, as well as building principals, and then we surveyed the buildings again to come up with this long-range plan. So some of the main highlights that were identified, and I know you guys have the detailed description in your board packet, but we're addressing with the American with Disabilities Act, bathrooms, parking lots, locker rooms, drinking fountains, health and security, putting security vestibules at all the districts. It's a second means of protection for entering into the building, upgrading our fire alarm, removing our the rest of our asbestos floors, public address systems, general capital projects, ceiling, site work, stage lighting, athletic field upgrades, construction of new concession stands, replacing some of the new and existing lighting, flooring, as well as computer technology. So it's really the driving force of this project is really four parts: handicap accessibility, security improvements, technology, and then our general capital measures. And just some photos of existing conditions. These are typical classroom sinks. As you notice, there's no place for a child in a wheelchair to get access to the sinks, whether to wash their hands or have a drink. Bathrooms, none of the bathroom stalls are handicap accessible. A lot of the toilet doors entering into the spaces, they're not wide enough. They need to be 36 inches wide. Some of the measures that have taken place over the years, this is a handicap lift going down to the lower pool area. Security vestibule, so we'll be building a second set of doors. So really, when you want to gain entry into the building, you'll come to the first set, you'll be buzzed in, and then inside that secure vestibule, there'll be a second checkpoint where you're going to get buzzed in a second time before you're allowed access into the building. Fire alarm system and PA system upgrades, as well as typical, this is very inefficient stage lighting. We're going to go with new LED lighting, energy efficient lighting, ceilings replacement throughout the district, auditorium seating, replacing the last of the folding partitions in the gymnasiums with the walk-draw curtains. This is the pictures of the flat roof over at Waverly. That entire roof is no longer under warranty, needs to be replaced. And then just a lot of site work, asphalt pavement, curbs, sidewalks, drainage. And then one of the large projects we'd be addressing as part of this is large retaining walls in three locations at the upper fields by East High School. So I know this one is a little hard to read. That's the total of each cost. And the total of, we're breaking this up, we're recommending two propositions. Proposition one is all of the handicap accessibility, the security, and the routine maintenance and upgrades, and that's a total of $36.2 million. Where then is a equipment upgrades, including buses, facilities, trucks and vehicles, plows. That's a total of $6 million, and that would be all part of bond issue proposition one. And I think the way we would recommend wording it is the only way, if there will be a proposition one and a proposition two. But if proposition two passes, proposition one has to pass as well. And in proposition one are the athletic components at both North and East High School for proposition two. So we're recommending here a second synthetic turf multi-use field at both North and East, providing synthetic turf at the varsity baseball field and softball field infields, as well as the construction of a new concession stand at each high school. And then what we're also recommending, although it doesn't need to be replaced now, but again, useful life of a product, the stadium fields, the synthetic turf that we installed, I guess it's about 5 or 6 years ago already. Back then, the expected useful life is 8 years. The warranty on a synthetic turf field is 8 years. I've had many turf fields that have gone at least 10 or 11 years, and it's really based on how much use, because once the blades of grass start to get low, it can only hold so much rubber and sand infill. And then when you do your insurance tests, your GMAC tests, once that level reaches above 200, we're then required to replace that synthetic turf field. So we're recommending putting money in that doesn't have to be spent right away, because you have 10 years to spend your capital money. Put it in towards the end of the bond, so when the useful life of that synthetic turf field is over, there is money already there to replace that turf field. What happens is the rubber and the sand comes out, the carpet itself comes up, but the drainage stays in place, the gravel stays in place, and all the sub-base stays in place. Then they put on the new carpet, reuse a lot of the rubber pellets, and then infill with what's left on that. And the total of that, Proposition 2, is $5,779,000. For a grand total of Prop 1 and 2 of $48,087,000. Mr. Singer, do this slide?
As Rob said, so we've been discussing the bond issue for the last few years, and we have an opportunity right now. We've been postponing the purchase of the equipment, the capital projects, for this time period, because we know we now have the guaranteed energy savings from the energy performance contract, which the board approved a few months ago. And concurrently, our debt services, which is currently about $19 million in the next 4 years, is going to drop down to $15 million and to $13 million. So even with the addition of this debt for the $40 million, we won't be at the same level that we are today. That's why we're able to bring this project at basically a minimal cost, $12 for the year for one in the equipment, and $8 for the Proposition 2, which is the turf field and the concession stands that we were talking about maybe two board meetings ago. This becomes aidable because it's ancillary to the main proposition. If Proposition 1, then we would not get aid. Site work in and of itself, you don't generate aid, as we were talking about. But because we're packaging it this way, the turf and the concession stand now becomes an aidable project because we're doing concurrent work inside the building. So we're infusing that with this. Also, the school buses, which Steve brought in, gentlemen, maybe a year and a half ago. This is the new natural gas school buses, which get almost 60% state aid. So every opportunity, we're maximizing our state aid, combining that with the lower debt and the positive cash flow, which is guaranteed by Johnson, either lower energy or they have to cut us a check, which is in their contract. And that's why it's the $12. Half of the project, as we did with Excel, we envisioned to hire our own maintenance staff. We would hire 4 maintenance mechanics, plumber, electrician, carpenter. We would do half of the work. The figures which John is showing over there, those are the contracted figures. When we did the Excel bond on $30 million by using our own staff, we saved over $3 million. Because when we pay a person who's now part of the Sachem maintenance staff, there's no change orders. This is their job. They're dedicated to only the capital projects. They're hired after the bond issue, if the bond issue is approved by the community, and the term of their employment is over when this job is over in the next, this will probably take about 4 years to complete. The other advantage right now, as John mentioned, the turf fields have still a good useful life, but by infusing in here, we don't need to borrow the money right away. So this slide is really the most conservative. We could get voter authorization. We have 10 years to actually borrow that money. So being conservative in projecting a cost, I know it's actually going to come out much less than we're projecting. The other issues, and just by reading bond issues in Nassau and Suffolk County, most of the angst from the community is the turf fields. So my recommendation is to separate it. But I think the way we're proposing it, that's really a board option, to have one bond issue or to have the separate bond issues. We had a report last year from the Department of Civil Rights, those ADA compliant, that is, we are mandated to get it done. They didn't levy any fines because they knew we were going to propose this to the board and then ultimately to the community. Just on a final note, in today's agenda is a CEQA approval, which the board would have to start the process. It's an $11,000 cost for a firm to come in to make sure none of these projects are going to negatively impact the environment, which they won't. If the board approves this game plan, that's the only approval that we're seeking today, is the CEQA approval. We need a consultant for that. Suffolk County said the election machines aren't available in November, so the earliest we could have a vote is the first week in December, if the board approves that. So the financing right now for this capital project, plus the $22 million for the energy performance, it's good timing for the community. It's at minimal cost, and all of our buildings would be in compliance for the next several years. That's basically our presentation. We're here now. The only other item that we wanted to bring out, we were making changes for the last 2 years to this up until Thursday or Friday. We had many changes with Proposition 2. In our last conversation with Pete and Gary this week, because we're getting so much state aid on this total project, which we didn't envision when we were first talking about it, if we do the entire outfields, which is a multi-sport, it in total cost, it's about $2 million, but because we get 76%, the debt service to the community would be about $500,000 over 15 years, or a minimal cost. So if the board opts to turf the entire field, not just the baseball fields and redoing the football fields, this would be the outfield, there'll be actually four sports that we could turf. We can increase that Proposition 2, maximizing our aid, and then our fields would be state-of-the-art at 76% paid by the state, and we'd be able to infuse that debt, that $500,000 debt to the taxpayers, over the next 10 years. So it'd be minimal cost each year. So that's really where we are. We're bringing this to you. If you have any questions on the overall package, the specifics you received earlier, the projects from the architects with the finances, Steve is here to answer any questions. Pete or Gary about the turf.
Any questions?
Bruce, when the project, if approved by the voters, when the project starts, are the bonds issued all at the start?
No, good point. They're not. We're only going to borrow the money as we need it. So I envision borrowing the money. We actually did this by only borrowing the money because we know we're controlling when we're buying the material and the expenditures for our labor. So we would pace it out. The chart reflects borrowing it all at one time. But I really know we're not going to do that because it'd be too much work for our men. We're probably going to space it out over 4 years. Oh, the other component is a smart school bond. There's $3 million in this project. Unlike previous New York State bond issues, and Jack is here to talk, just give the board an update on the smart school bonds. The New York State wants the community to improve the infrastructure portion of it. It's fully paid, 100% paid. There is no debt for this $3 million. They will reimburse us with a promise. You spend the money, and within 90 days, you're supposed to get it back. We'll wait until I get the check. So we're going to, you know, that $3 million, we're not going to borrow it all at one time. We're not going to do this infrastructure at one time. We'll spend a little bit, maybe a few hundred thousand, wait till we get it back, because if they don't spend it back and we have to now pay for those items out of the general fund, we can't over-exceed our available cash flow in the general fund. We're not there yet. But the state has made a commitment. If this is approved by the community, the wireless infrastructure, this $3 million, we are supposed to get it back within 90 days. So that is the promise. So that's another good thing, that we're now asking the community for $3 million, but we're 100% as opposed to 76%, 100% paid by the debt, paid by the state, without issuing debt, payable in the same year.
Bill? Bruce, there's been a lot of discussion. Can everybody hear me? There's been a lot of discussion about the closing of schools potentially within the next couple of years. Everything is listed here in this proposal for Proposition 1. So if schools are shut down, would we be doing work on those schools that are closed?
Absolutely, Bill. That's a very good point. We're not demoing a building. That was never the plan. It was, you know, whether we're going to be a landlord or maintain the building, we would have to do these repairs. Obviously, a building that doesn't have student occupancy wouldn't have the same need as a building that's occupied with students. But as landlords, which we are in this building, if something happens to the students, we have to take care of it. The board never considered demoing, you know, demolishing a building. They said, or boarding it up. So we have to maintain it to a normal level that we would. But we know the last board meeting, the board approved two contracts with BOCES. They are very interested in moving into middle school or an elementary school. They've expressed interest in both. So, yes, we would fix it to maintain it so it could be occupied, and then we would receive additional revenue, which is not counted in here. You know, neither is the BOCES rent from Merrimack or Seneca. That will be additional revenue above and beyond this. So, but that's a good point. The same thing with the energy performance contract. We're lowering our energy cost on every single building. We're putting solar. As long as we own the property, we want to be good landlords and make sure it's not an eyesore in the community to board it up. We're going to maintain it as it's going to, as if it's going to be occupied.
Dorothy?
Bruce, in the same thought, if we decide to close school buildings and we go ahead and do the work in those buildings, we're getting reimbursed 76 cents on the dollar, correct?
That's correct.
So if we're doing work in buildings where there are no students, does that still apply? As far as if we're doing the work there, is it still aidable?
Well, it's still registered as a school unless, like Union Avenue, we're going to sell it and the buyer wants to build an alternative use. Obviously, we wouldn't do any work. But that, you know, unless we're selling it as a non-school building, we wouldn't be eligible for state aid.
No, even if we didn't sell it, say we were the landlord.
If we're a landlord and
but
it's
our
occupied,
kids, our students are not in that building.
But it'd be occupied by student use.
So even though we're getting the bond for us as far as Sachem, it's one of our bonds, but it's not our students in there.
We're maintaining it as a school facility. That's correct. The thinking is, at any given time, we can put Sachem, you know, school children back into the building. It's maintained as a school building. Unless we change the occupancy of what it's meant for, I don't know, you know, commercial building or manufacturing building, not as a school, then we'd be changing it with the state education department, changing it with the town, and that's a whole different procedure, but it'll be a different use of that property.
Okay. And then as far as the list for each building, how did we come up with this list? I know we had discussed some of this in the past, but is this really a wish list for every building, or is this really?
This is the narrowed down list. We reduced it many, many times, actually up until last week, before the board got it. It probably took 2 years. Taking the tour with the representative from the civil rights, that was the basis. Then there were other projects, which we postponed for the last 3 years. We've done no capital projects.
Right.
Everything's been postponed. We haven't purchased equipment. Everything's been postponed because we couldn't afford it in a general fund budget because of the tax cap. Oh, that's the other good thing. Sorry. capital project is exempt from the tax cap. So we'll say if the tax cap's 2% and this represents a 1%, which can actually go to the community with a 3% allowable tax cap for that year. So this capital projects are exempt from the tax cap levy.
I mean, the only issue, and I know it's included in it, is that as far as the community, when you're telling the community we're strapped with money and we're making some adjustments or some reductions, and then it goes out there that we're putting in new turf fields, I think the communication has to be very clear to the community of how we're doing this and why we're doing this, and not just that we decided we're going to go ahead and put up some other turf fields even though we have some already. I think that's going to be very, very important to communicate that.
Well, good point, Dorothy. Like anything that we own at home or in the schools, everything has a useful life. So whether we put it into this bond issue, if we were to replace it in the general fund as site work, we wouldn't get state aid. If we just did the turf fields and concession stands, we would be spending millions of dollars with no state aid. We now have the opportunity in here because it's considered incidental to the main work that we're doing. We're eligible for state aid. So the cost remains the same, except the school district receiving the reimbursement. We're maximizing the availability of reimbursement.
Sal.
Bruce, just help me clarify, if you will. You're proposing two bond referendums.
That's what my recommendation.
First bond referendum is really all the necessities that we have to do.
Correct.
For ADA compliance and for equipment.
Perfect.
The second one is really upgrades to our
Correct.
Facilities to bring us to a next level to upgrade the facility.
The turf and the concession stands. That's correct.
What you're offering to the community is the ability to do what's needed or a slight upgrade. And you mentioned the total cost to the community was 12 and 8.
12 and 8.
And the community could take the 12 and the 8 or just the 12.
That's correct.
They can't take just the 8.
That's And they can, but we wouldn't proceed because the finances wouldn't work out that way.
So,
but, I mean, if that's the way it happens, then my recommendation was not to proceed with the work.
Now, help me understand. The 12 and 8, there's a difference of 50%, but when you quoted out the numbers, there was a pretty large disparity in expenditures between the bond 1 and the bond 2.
Oh, good point, Sal.
Thank you.
The energy, the energy performance contract is offset on Proposition 1. The turf is the true cost of just bonding out the turf field. So as we're saying, we're going to have to do these solar panels anywhere in our buildings to maintain the buildings, the upgrade to the buildings, all the ADA compliance. That's our true needs at this time. The upgrade to the facilities, which is not a necessity, but it's a nice time because we have this opportunity. That's why, yes, it's big numbers and dollars difference, but when you take out the state aid and the energy performance, which is about $20 million, it lowers that to almost the same.
Okay.
That's the finances.
And the smart schools technology investment
In
bond one?
Is it the three? That's right. And that's 100% paid by the bond.
Okay.
So if you lower out the energy performance, you lower out the smart school $3 million, then you'll see how the differences really aren't as dramatic as, because everything's in Proposition 1.
Thank
you. Want to get the most bang for the community, that if it's approved, we're going to maximize our revenue coming in. And again, at this point, we're presenting to the board, this is the most conservative. As we go through, I'm pretty confident the number's going to even be lower than shown tonight.
Last question, nickels and dimes question, but water fountains, do people still use them, and are we required to have them?
Right, well, that's a compliant issue.
Because there's a lot of money in water fountains. And
It's really the cabinet unit in the classrooms. I mean, in a lot of our elementary schools, there's a lot of those. Every single classroom has one of those.
But does anybody use them anymore?
I don't.
No, I'm asking a serious question. You know, in the school, they do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just.
I mean, what we're also doing, like in like locker rooms and stuff, is we're putting in the refillable water bottles. We're putting those in, and they're more of an electric cooler. You know, so we.
I think we might be able to speak to that a little
please
better.
Do.
As far in the high school, I do know that a lot of kids use the water fountains. They don't always work, but I did notice, and they've had them in East for a few years.
Yeah.
The water bottle fill-ups, which
everybody
is a great
those
thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Could help us, you know, possibly use less plastic and hopefully get more use out of the water fountains in general. So,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the input.
Thank
One
you.
Meeting, you made an impact.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, Bruce, do you need a vote?
Well, is the board comfortable with the two propositions?
Any objections to the propositions? I don't see any objections.
All right, then I'm just now jumping to our agenda, as long as Rob and John. Oh, how about the additional fields? Let me just. It's at minimal cost to turf the outfields. I think what helped sell the Excel bond is that we had all the sports community in favor of that. By now proposing the additional turf fields, and it's really such a minimal cost, it's $500,000 spread out over 10 years. If we had this information last week, I would have put it in here, but it's really up to the board now. You have the package. It would be recommended to turf it, and we get four additional sports to use those fields then.
Where does that bring the $8?
Oh, we would let's say it's $1 million each field, so that's $2 million. We'd get 76%, $1.5 million, so that would be $500,000. So we'd increase the bond, increase the aid, and we'd increase the debt.
But where would it bring the? We have numbers at $12 and $8.
Oh,
for
it's
each bond. Is it
500,000 divided by 10? Well, it's minimum, so it's 50,000, maybe 25 cents.
Okay. So that really that little.
Oh, it's little, absolutely.
Yeah, Bruce, the difference between that would be we would, instead of just having the baseball infield done, that would give us the ability to have soccer, lacrosse, you know, fields like
Pete,
that.
Pete's here. You want to
Do you have something?
Yeah, just regarding the fields, you're proposing a full-size practice field or secondary field?
Correct.
Wouldn't that take the same, you know, space or position as turfing the whole baseball field?
Well, that would do in the outfields. What's in the current bond is not the outfields.
It's not in that field?
Correct.
But you're proposing infields?
Correct.
You're proposing a separate full-size field, practice field?
Everything in the fields would be turf, basically. The way we use it, other sports use the outfields besides baseball and softball. Originally, the thinking was the baseball and for Title IX issues, we'd turf for the softball fields. But then when we were talking the numbers the other day, we said we're now at a point, it's at a minimal additional cost to turf all the fields. So
it would have been an additional $1 million to the bond.
$1 million at North, $1 million at East, $2 million.
$500,000 per outfield?
No, we would receive $1.5 million in aid.
Okay.
$500,000, and the debt would be over 15 years.
So it would be a $2 million increase.
It's a $2 million increase in the bond, but a minimal increase on the community tax rate. And if we just did this at like in the general fund next year, people petitioned us, and let's say at $2 million to turf, it would be a $2 million zero aid on the general fund.
We get the 76% back.
Correct. Right. By doing it this way, we have this opportunity. We will get the 76% back.
Now what do we get back on equipment? Trucks?
Oh, trucks is nothing. Zero, I should say. The school buses, the generator, the transportation equipment is 59%. And actually, we just got increased. We were changing numbers last week. It was at 52%. According to our last state aid runs, we're now getting 59%. So transportation only equipment. So the buses, which Steve was proposing 2 years ago, will get 60%. It's the school buses. There's a plow for the yard over here, and a generator. Those three items.
So Bruce, when I look at the equipment list, and it says bucket truck with crane attachment, $165,000. There's no state aid.
No, that's anything for the facilities is zero aid.
Backhoe, $140,000.
Correct.
No state aid on that.
I mean,
how desperately do we need that equipment?
Well, we haven't bought equipment in 5 years.
In five years?
Correct.
And what's the life of? We have a backhoe.
I think that is 15 years old. We gave that equipment list last year. When we brought it to the board, said bring it to the budget advisory committee. The average life of these, well beyond the average life. Our mechanics are experts at keeping these items that you're mentioning still running. There's nothing that's under 7-8 years.
I would imagine that we don't use it.
Maybe older. Or older.
Like the bucket truck is 17
years old.
The Bronco that my assistant's driving is 1998 with 240,000 on it. So when we bought the vehicles back in 2007-08, that was 1/3 of the vehicles that we owned. We bought 22 vehicles. We owned approximately 100. So this would be stuff that was after that. We're not replacing the ones we bought 8 years ago. That's still our best stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're replacing stuff that's 13, 14, 15 years old.
And the backhoe is 15 years old?
I think it's 17 years
17
old.
Years old.
But that's something that the facility uses that I don't. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1 second. Laura? That you have a very good repair site, and we are fortunate that we have
very good mechanics, and you folks allow us to buy the correct type of parts, OEM parts and stuff. So we have extended the life of those vehicles, but it's a 15-year-old vehicle.
Laura?
So, Bruce, if I understand, so the turf fields in about 4 years or 5 years are going to reach their expectancy, their life expectancy.
That's correct.
So then if we don't pass this, at that time, if we go to replace them, that is not eatable at that time. It would only be eatable if done this way.
That's absolutely correct, Laura.
Thank you.
Sal?
Bruce, you were mentioning that we would borrow the money over the time when we
correct.
Need it. How would that work from a taxpayer standpoint? Because you know, you pass a bond, and they say, okay, my taxes are going to go up $20. God willing, everything goes well, the tax is going to go up $20. Well, they're only going to go up a couple of dollars each year.
That's right.
So how do we explain that?
Just what you said. The $12 is the most conservative, worst-case scenario. Borrowing every dollar on day one, and you the homeowner, are going to have to pay this out. I know that that's not going to happen because the timing of the way we're going to construct it. As we go through, if the board allows, the community approves it, as we go through it, like we did with the Excel, we'll keep updating the website. I mean, this will consume a good part of my job. Construction updates, financial updates. We also use conservative interest rates. You know, interest rates right now are pretty low. We have to project out for the next 20 years. So we used an additional 50 basis points, an additional 100 basis points. I don't know what the Federal Reserve.
My question is, could we lay out, like, sort of how this would ramp up to the community
yes, I can. The lawyers want to show the most conservative position. You're issuing debt. This would be the debt on day one. In reality, it'll be too much work for us to do all in 1 year. So I can have, this is the issuance of the debt. This is what I expect to do over the next 5 years. It's very relatively simple, and it won't be anywhere near $12. Like you said, it'll be more like $4 a year.
Okay.
That's right.
That's all, Tony. I'm done.
Dorothy?
Bruce, as far as using our people to do some of the work, and I remember the Excel bond, we did use a fair amount of our personnel to be able to do some installation, especially at the playgrounds. We saved a lot of money.
Right.
So in looking at this scope of work, are you thinking maybe 60-70% of it is going to be done by our staff?
If you look next to the spreadsheet in the left-hand column, it says in-house. So you could see every item that our men would do, and then items that the other items we contracted out. Like you asked last week, or John mentioned, the Waverly roof.
I gotcha.
Our men are not certified by the roofing manufacturers, so that's a job we wouldn't take on. Most of the preliminary electrical, carpentry, plumbing, it's listed.
Yeah, I see that now. So as far as the turf fields, the $2 million, does that cover installation as well?
Yeah, that's the total contractor cost.
Okay, so our guys wouldn't be doing the installation.
No, because there's warranties. And
sure.
If there's a warranty issue and then the insurance companies get involved, we don't want our men in that mix.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
One more.
Bill.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Bruce, I'm going back and I'm looking at the rate on the bonds, because you were talking about that before. The estimation here is 2.25%.
Right.
That they have as the rate. Now, if you borrow the money later on and rates go up on these type of bonds, is there any cap in terms of what we can?
Bill, if you could turn the pages, there are a few different bond issues. There's a ban in there for the equipment. There's a short-term bond, which it says plus 50 basis points, and then there's the longer-term bond. So we used, getting to actually Sal's point, we're not borrowing the money at one day, so we had, as we went out in further years, we kept basis points. So just,
what'd you bring it up to in basis points, though, max?
Over 4.5%.
4.5%, so 400 basis points.
Yes.
All right, Mike?
Bruce, just as a point of clarification, for tonight, under the mini-contracts consent agenda item, it looks like item 5.1.1.
Right,
it's the approval of the agreement with KGO Consulting for $11,000. That's the CEQA?
Exactly.
And that's the only thing tonight?
That's really the only need, but that's going to start the ball rolling.
This
firm will make sure that none of these items impact the environment. We just need an outside agency to confirm it. The architects will then come back. We'll have a form of CEQA approval. And then bond counsel will come back. There's a very strict timeline.
If the board agrees to a December vote and then marketing it, I think Sal had a very good suggestion. This is the bond issue, but this is really what we envision. And I think most people understand using our men, but we have to show the contracted price because we never know up until we're doing the job whether our men can actually do it. But I'm confident our men are highly skilled, highly trained. We're going to do the more of the work and a greater savings. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, so tonight under the consent agenda for mini contracts, consent agenda items 511 through 518, that's where the CEQA.
Right. That's the only item.
That's the only one. It's in the consent agenda,
right.
So everyone is aware.
There's a legal deadline. If this is approved tonight, we have the availability for a December vote. That's all it is.
Vic? Bruce, on the master equipment list, are all these items going to be put up for bid prior to, or are these?
Absolutely.
So these numbers could drastically change, because I'm just
right.
Thinking like the radio transmitter that you have for $35,000 is about $20,000 too much.
So. Right. That's what I'm saying. At this point, at this point, we're very conservative with
Got
the numbers.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? I'd suggest we just got the board, or just got this packet tonight, so if we have any questions, we're only voting on the CEQA portion tonight. Please call Bruce or Jim and find it, get your information, because we'll be discussing it probably in late August. And go ahead, Rob.
Now, Tony, you need some direction on the full fields of turf.
If the board's agreeable with coming back with the full turf, I would do that, show the real cost.
That would have to be part of the CEQA as well, wouldn't it? As far as
Yes, Rob. Correct.
Yes, Rob.
It would be, yeah.
So if the board's agreeable to turfing the home, we're going to, I mean, you don't have it now, but I'll send you another spreadsheet with the $2 million, and the consultant will review the entire fields.
Just go over again what we're approving tonight.
The consultant for CEQA.
The turf fields now is something.
I'm going to bring that back, and it seems like if there's board agreement.
That would be part of the CEQA
correct.
Process in order
okay.
to evaluate that.
We're not specifically voting on the fields. Fine.
If you go through that with the secret, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to do it.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have to. There's going to be a, just like with the budget, there'll be an absolute deadline, which is probably going to be in September, when the board has to raise their hand to say, yes, we go with the, to bring this forward to a community
That's
vote.
Why I'm suggesting that we really look at this and ask mm-hmm. the questions prior. We're only going to have one or two meetings prior to that, and we may get questions, so please. Get your answers before that night. Did anybody have any other questions, Vic?
If we do add the fields, is that going to change the cost of the CEQA?
No, this was for the whole property.
That's the whole property?
Yeah, the cost wouldn't change what I would recommend, because in a CEQA, you can always back out scope.
Okay.
So even if we decide you don't want to do the outfield of the turf field, at least the CEQA is covered for that. The CEQA process, the environmental piece is covered. You could do less, but to do more, you have to go back at that
point.
And
it all falls under that 11,000.
Correct. Yeah, because east falls within the edge of the Pine Barrens, and north, because we're so close to the pond, it actually falls under the freshwater wetlands permit we need to get.
Okay. Yeah, Dorothy, go ahead.
So when we get to item 511, I guess we don't have to ask too many questions about it because we've discussed it. But I do have a question. Bruce, in there it says that it's proposed improvements at Sachem High School East and North and proposed construction of a pre-engineered building at the administrative annex. What is that?
The facilities annex. So where the maintenance people currently park,
mm-hmm.
we have to upgrade that. It's like that back end of where Winona is.
Right. So you're talking about those. There's a little cluster of two or three buildings there by the back of Winona.
That's the pre. So instead of building a regular construction, it's called prefabricated. So they could store materials properly.
So you're looking at, so just to be clear, these consultants are coming in to take a look at that to
review.
To
it doesn't
do
impact the environment. That's the definition of a CEQA approval.
So they're coming in there because we're looking at putting another building there.
Correct.
No.
Replacing.
We're replacing in kind. There's an existing building, the old portables together, the larger building there. That's going to come down, and a new building is going to go in its place. Same footprint.
Okay. So this is just to go in there and see the environmental impact of doing that?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then we'll do the environmental impact on all of the other buildings. Those are all type 2 actions, which we already know there's no adverse effect in the environment. So I'll do the CEQA on all of those. That's why that's only listed tonight as East, North, and facilities.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have $3 million in here, but as you know, we were allocated $11 million. Maybe, Jack, if you want to come up, just brief the board on where we are on the $11 million. So this is pretty exciting time, and this total is going to be about $80 million, plus this is about $90 million of new upgrades to our schools.
Good evening. In follow-up to the discussion previously about the bond, it had been requested to put a brief together for the board regarding the timeline for technology planning. So I'm going to run through a brief plan that will start with what we're doing right now and take us through the fall of next year. So currently we're working to develop a new technology plan and follow the new requirements from the state regarding a survey that now has to be submitted online. 42 questions or so regarding the use of technology in our district and where the state would like us to go in that regard, looking at things like park online testing and other sorts of computer-based testing scenarios. We're also working to develop the Smart Schools Implementation Plan, which can only be reviewed and then submitted after the tech planning is completed, and that's new requirements by the state. And then working out the details of the bond wiring that has been discussed already, exact locations for where wireless devices will go in every classroom, where additional wiring would have to go, increasing our fiber connections to maintain the higher network capabilities of the equipment. In the fall, hopefully with an approved technology plan, we'll be looking to bring forward at least phase one of the Smart Schools Investment Plan before the board and the community to obtain approval and then be able to move forward, hopefully, with submitting that to the state. They will review those plans once a quarter. We don't exactly know what their timelines and dates are yet or what the turnaround time might be, but we're hoping that we would get approval either sometime in the winter or early spring. At which time we would hopefully move forward with some of the bond wiring, as Bruce had discussed, being very careful, of course, with how much we're outlaying, unsure of that 90-day response time for their reimbursements. We'll also be working to finalize some BOCES purchases for some infrastructure that we need to do for our network security, where the internet comes into our district to make sure we check our firewalls and some of our other infrastructure equipment, and that'll be done in the fall as well, to begin that project as well as the wiring in the spring through the bond. We would then be looking to also take a look at what other phases for smart schools that we would want to submit. The smart schools funding is designed in such a way that it does not expire in any way and it has no deadline. So most school districts are now looking at some sort of a phased approach, making sure that they're obviously putting more important things like infrastructure in place before they put wireless or endpoints or other things that would then access that network. And so our hope would be that we would look at the summer, fall of 2016 to start some of the other implementation that Bruce had mentioned, obviously trying to make sure that we're careful in putting forth major expenditures that we would need the state to reimburse us for once those projects are completed. So that gives a general timeline of events for the things that we're looking to do. As mentioned, the bond would handle the wiring and fiber, and the BOCES would take care of some of our infrastructure things, and the smart schools would handle a myriad of things, from wireless in all of our classrooms, which would be ubiquitous access both inside and outside the buildings, looking at things as well pointing toward our fields, bus lots, and parking lots, looking at our endpoint devices. So computers, for instance, haven't been upgraded since East and Sequoia were first opened. So we're dealing with very old technology that we've really been working hard to try to keep running as best we could based on our current fiscal situation. Looking at the addition of servers and security cameras for security, which is also part of the Smart Schools Initiative. In speaking with security, they're looking at the addition of at least 24 to 36 cameras per building, both interior and exterior cameras, and the servers and things that would be associated with that, and then upgrading the Security Operations Center that's here at Samoset. Unified management, some of our technology readiness skills, and working with our teaching staff on where we want to see students go, and all sorts of endpoint devices from wired to wireless to you name it, to whatever's coming in the future. So.
Okay. Any questions? Sal. And then Rob.
Thanks, Chuck. Just one specific question as it relates to the internet access and all the various endpoints we're creating. Are we looking at partitioning any of the student data systems on separate networks and separate infrastructures from our wireless and wired networks just to protect data?
Sure. One of the things that we've done network security audits, with which most districts have not. Mm-hmm. We're looking to continue that as we go forward this year again. And one of the things that we've always been proud of is the fact that our wireless infrastructure is extremely robust from its security standpoint. It's always been the highlight of the audit, so we are hoping to see the same results, if not any security measures that we need to take to make sure that those are as tight as possible. But we do take other measures as well to make sure that those systems are segmented, and then the information regarding Penimation and eSchool is segmented even further, as well as the fact that eSchool is managed through the CCS.com.
Thank you.
Sure.
Rob?
A quick question. Bruce, we were awarded $11 million through state, and understanding the guidelines and the guidance that we just got from the state is that we have to lay out the money, and then we get the money back in 3 months, you said?
Yeah, 3 months. They said they would reimburse us whatever we spend. That's the theory.
Okay, so we're proposing a $3 million upgrade?
$3 million of infrastructure. The balance is going to be computers, which will enter into a five-year BOCES multi-year agreement. So then it's not in this agreement, but in a separate COSER agreement. So it'll be one-fifth each year. Included in that is it's a little bit more than the computers. That's to be some for pre-K, and in here is security, as Rob mentioned, the entrance doors.
But we are going to utilize the full $11 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Every dollar.
It's just a question of we don't want to lay it all out.
My next question is, does it expire at a certain point?
No, they
said the state
no.
has indicated there's no deadline, but there is no expiration. So we are looking at a phased approach. As Bruce said, we don't want to lay out $11 million, and if the state can't deliver, then obviously we can't pay payroll or something by the end of the school year. We don't want to do something like that, obviously.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes,
Doc. Jack, when you submit your plan, since this is new, no districts have done this yet.
Right.
So when you submit your plan, are you anticipating that they're going to come back and say, okay, parts of the plan are good, parts of the plan are not good, and then you have to go back and revise it? Are you anticipating that, or sure. are you getting any feel for what the state is saying about the plan?
Sure. Well, the documentation that you just received probably a couple of weeks ago is the most recent information that we've been able to receive. Before that, we had some vague inferences and recommendations and things that were prerequisites that they're already looking to potentially change. So there's a lot of things that are still kind of fluid in this. Many of the tech directors have gotten together. They don't have a lot of the backing that SACHM has. And so as they look at some of these prerequisites, they say this is really going to be a hardship for our district. Is the state willing to give a little grace on some of this? So the state's already looking at some opportunities to maybe give a little bit of leeway. So none of this is exact. It's not really concrete. However, with the new information that they've given us, as well as the templates that they've now given us for the technology plan, we do have a very good outline of exactly what they're looking for. And it also includes community involvement, information from students, information from administration, our technology team. So we're already gathering information. We've met with building principals at the principals' meetings. We spoke to some teachers already before the school year ended. We met with our instructional technology team, and we'll also be doing a lot more of this stuff through the summer as well as in the fall to try to gather more information. And because of the fact that the technology plan, which does need to tie into the Smart Schools Initiative,
right.
has to be approved by the state, we do have information both from BOCES, who will review it for us first,
okay.
As well as from the state as to what they're looking for. So the question about will they kick things back or not, we don't really know at this point. Many of the districts are trying to just do what we're doing, which is get the technology plan together and fill out that online survey now for the state to submit that for approval. With them reviewing it once a quarter, it's difficult to say what that timeline might be, which is, again, why we're looking at the summer or fall of 2016 to start, because if there is any reason that the state either is bogged down or behind and can't get to those things as quickly as we would hope, or there are things that they want us to re-review, we'd have to wait till the next quarter for them to approve that. So we would still need to get your approval as well, so we would need to put that information on our website, have it reviewed, gather feedback, and get approval from the board before resubmitting it to the state if it did come back.
Okay. So, Bruce, in conjunction with what Jack's team is doing, so this all has to be coordinated between what BOCES is doing, BOCES coming into our schools, now this Smart Schools that has to do with technology and also security, and now with the capital, the bond that we're putting out. So the bond is going out. We're putting that out in December, you said?
That's the earliest we could put it out, the first week in December.
So if it goes out in December, then when are we talking about you actually implementing some of the work or starting the work?
Probably after next summer. Once the community approves it, it has to go for SED approval. The architects have to do the blueprints and drawings. That'll probably could take a year, 9 months to a year.
It just seems like this is all going to have to be coordinated and fit together, because if we're doing capital improvements on certain buildings, for Jack to do what he needs to do, he needs to know what the finished product is going to be at that building in order to...
I went to two meetings. It seems like the gist from the state, get community involvement, which we will be forced to because of the bond, make sure the stakeholders, students, document when we meet with them. Unlike with the gap elimination, when we ran around the room and every school district was represented, some school districts only got a few $100,000. So they were going to spend it on computers. We, and, you know, I don't know the wisdom of their calculation, we got $11 million. There was very few school districts in our league. So we're getting more money. So, of course, we have to produce more for the state. So I don't think some of the other school districts have the same burden that we have. It's the same regulations from the state. Meet with the community, meet with the students, meet with the teachers. But we will be forced to prove that point when we market the bond issue.
So from the finance side of it, what's your confidence now? Because in what Jack just said, it seems like we have to lay out the money first, and then we get reimbursed from the state.
That's new. That's correct.
I know the state has not always been...
We'll do, like I mentioned earlier, we'll do a few hundred thousand at a time. We'll test the waters, see how quick the state really is. We don't have the cash flow to do $1 million. But if they keep their word... We spend a few hundred thousand, they send it back, we do a few hundred thousand, it'll grow our confidence that we could do bigger projects. And of course, with entering into BOCES agreement, you pay one-fifth each year. So if it's a few million dollars, you're only paying one-fifth of the agreement. You're not paying the whole thing.
So you're anticipating that we're going to have the $300,000 to be able to do some of these technology upgrades.
Well, that's a good point, Dorothy. In addition to your package, is a New York State Comptroller came in to audit our previous energy performance contract. It's going to be in Newsday. They came, they audited to make sure our finances were right. We are to the good of almost $40 million. We've far exceeded any expectation. If you recall, we thought we were going to be around $800,000. We're about $1.2 million per year to the good. So this is unforeseen revenue. The state control.
Wait, so when you put out there we're $40 million to the good, you need to really explain that, because people are going to think we have $40 million.
No, it's not, we don't have it in our pocket. It's over the life of the issue. But we're to the good of a few hundred thousand. Our electrical consumption went down 17 million kilowatts, which represented a few hundred thousand dollars. The state control or somebody called, and they came in, they audited it. They were here for, three or four weeks reviewing our PSE&G bills. They verified it. We went back and forth, which is in the board packet. We finalized it, and it's going to be a news day. We exceeded our expectations. And that's on the completed project. So I envision, as you know, the Johns Controls, those engineers, they're conservative initially. We're going to do better. So that's going to start generating more positive cash flow than we've budgeted. So we would use that positive cash flow for the initial purchase of the computers.
So your business office, or you and your team, are basically going to be overseeing?
This would be my job.
Okay.
Right. I mean, this is a major job, I mean, as one job aside from it. No, I would have to personally take this on.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Okay. Maybe just one minor thing. We only have one capital project this summer, and we brought it up just to update the board. It was at Waverly Roof. NYSER's paying for it. That's the only capital update, and then we're done. Robin, maybe you want to. I mean, there was an incident last week, and that's our only capital project. That's all. Thanks.
Okay, on the Waverly Roof, as you see, it's got fencing around it and the plastic's up. Last week they spent the time putting up the plastic. They issued the 10-day notice, or they filed for the 10-day notice. They got approval. They actually started doing the removal of the roof panels this week on Monday. it's a weather-dependent kind of thing, so they kind of got tied up a little bit, but they're going to go in sections to remove the whole roof over that all those six classrooms. They expect the removal and completion of the abatement portion of it to be done by the end of the month. The trusses, the new roof trusses have been ordered. They're expected to be delivered the 1st of August, and then the carpenters will be here installing those and putting it all back together. So it's a monumental task between now and the start of school, but they're going to work as many hours as they need to get you back up and running, hopefully by the start of school. And we'll continue to update you as the summer goes along. Again, it's weather dependent, so if we all of a sudden get 3-4 weeks of rain, we can't really rip the roof and put the roof back on because it'll expose the rest of the building and do more damage than good. And that's really all that we have on that.
Vic, sorry, question.
Do we have a contingency plan in case we get a month of rain?
The teachers would stay in the room where they ended in June. We wouldn't move them back in. So the teachers moved out in April, and we wouldn't move them back in.
Right. They've been out for a while already since we first discovered the issue. So they'll just remain in those areas, and as soon as we can get them back on, get the roof back on and watertight and completed, we'll get them back in the rooms.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bruce, thank you. Excellent job. Okay. Okay, we'll start on the agenda. Business items A, bid awards. I need a motion, please. Sal, second Rob. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Item B, bid awards. Motion, please. Sal, second. Mike Timo. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Carol? One abstention. Okay, we're on personnel agenda items 4A1 through 4D4. Motion, please. Mike Timo, second. Rob Scavo. Any questions? Dorothy?
Yes.
I should know your name by now, right?
Jim, I just have a question of 4D3. Those probationary appointments, or Paul, maybe you would know as well, are they coming in to replace somebody? Are they new positions? All right, so drug and alcohol is a replacement?
We have existing transportation folks. We were just able to reach that person on the civil service list, so that's an existing staff member. And we also had the school custodial supervisor added, and that was part of an ASAP previously.
I couldn't hear that last.
There was a school custodial supervisor position that was put into effect when we didn't fill another position in the district.
Okay, thank you.
Congratulations, Scott.
Then what's he doing here?
That's why he's here.
Okay, we're up to...
We got motion and second.
Do we have it already?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Tony.
B, go ahead.
If we just acknowledge Patty?
I didn't get to that.
You did already. It was part of the agenda. It was part of that agenda.
I thought it was 4A4 that I
no,
was going to.
4C2.
All right. Sorry, Patty. You were approved already. Congratulations.
That's pretty good. You got Chris to come, too.
But who's that old guy sitting two away from you? I remember him from somewhere.
Page 9 is action items.
So moved.
Mini contract 511 to 518. Motion, please. Sal, second. Rob, any questions? Go ahead, Terry.
The Wilson language program, that it says special ed and general ed, but we use for L's too, right? 513, Wilson.
We're using Wilson for special education only.
Not going to use it for the L program?
It's not a part of the plan right now, no, Terry.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5-2, coaching assignments. Motion, please.
So
Laura,
moved.
Second. Sal, Any questions? All in favor? Dorothy?
I just want to note it that there is an assistant varsity coach that I am not approving, so I would be opposed, and we've spoke about it in exec session. So, Mr. President, I'd like that noted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We're up to 5-3 on page 14. Acceptance Energy Performance Contract. Audit reports. Motion, please. Motion. Terry, second. Motion. Rob, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5-4, approval of Middle School PM Student Center. Just to let you know, there was an agenda addition to that. Did everybody get that?
Okay.
You saw that?
Okay.
That's a motion. Motion, please. Rob, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Tony, one
go
statement
ahead
after that?
Yes.
Now that this is approved, what is our plan to outreach to the community to let them know that we have this so that the middle schools are aware and we start?
Yeah, we will continue to. People do already know. Some people have contacted us already, but we are going to reach out to the community.
And we'll use social media and everything.
I think Matt's doing a Connect Ed right now.
Oh, okay.
Right. We were waiting for the board to vote, but Stacy sent them an email and we put it on our website, but we were holding off till midnight.
You're doing a Connect Ed?
No, I'm updating our website.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you. I know a lot of work went into that.
Okay, 5-5, approval of Pyro Engineering. Motion, please. Sal, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.6, policy 6830, revised first reading. Motion, please.
Motion.
Rob, second.
Second.
Mike, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5-7, adoption revised policy, second reading. Motion, please.
Motion.
Rob, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5-8, donation, Mr. Kevin Capobianco. Motion, please. Sal, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Can we get a letter of acceptance for that? Thank you. 5-9, approval of payment. Bold Technology. Motion, please. Sal, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5-10, approval of corrective action plan for report on agreed upon procedures. Motion, please. Terry, second. Dorothy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of chaperones for East graduation. It does say East graduation. We have another one coming up?
Late approval.
These were added. They weren't on the original list, so we had to approve them. So I guess we'll have to approve them now. All right, need a motion, please. Bill, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.12, approval of 215 extended school year program. Motion. Laura, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.13, approval of music field trips. Motion, please. Bill, second. Sal, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.14, approval applied behavior analysis. Motion, please. Terry, second. Sal, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.15, approval for translators and interpreters. Motion, please. Mike, second. Sal, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.16, appointment of positions for the 15-16 school year. Motion, please. Sal, second. Vic, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Nobody here for that, right, Jim? So, okay, 5.17, appointment of elementary co-curricular extra activity classroom treasurer. Motion, please. Vic, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5.18, appointment of individual nurses for the 15-16 school year. Motion, please. Rob, second. Sal, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 519, board members' registration for state-mandated classes. Motion, please. Terry, second. Rob, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. You work that with Carol on that class, right? Okay. 520, appointment of marching band personnel for the 15-16 school year. Motion, please. Vic, second. Sal, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 521, recommendation from the Committee on Special Education. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports. Determination Committee on Preschool Education. Okay. Subcommittees. Anybody on subcommittees? Mr. Nicosi?
Good afternoon. Oh, good evening. So this afternoon, early this afternoon, I visited a program in Brentwood for feeding nutrition and food to the hungry. I was representing Senator Croce there. And something that I've been speaking about at these meetings has been the fact that our health program and nutrition program is mostly taught in 7th and 10th grade. Is that correct, Mr. Falco? Is that correct, Mr. Nolan? That the health course is that teach nutrition and food, good food and all, is taught in the 7th grade and 10th grade. There is some going on in the early grades, but very not really in a formal way. I've been looking at the leader in me and also up there and also the goals of SACHM. There's nothing there that says about being concerned about the health and nutrition of children who come here environmentally challenged from their own bodies to take on the challenges that we present to them in our classrooms. Is that correct? And one of the things I picked up at this meeting that was representing Mr. Croce, because I stayed there for a couple of hours talking to all the people. There were about 250 people there. Senator Boyle was there, Senator Fitzpatrick. And Senator Croce had some business, so he sent me. And he had a little confidence in me that I would know something about it. But the point I want to make here is this. We are being challenged with a lot of people in our country on food stamps. I'm sure there's a good percentage in this district here. When you get on food stamps, you always try to get the biggest bang out of your buck. The unfortunate part about it is that most of the people who buy from food stamps, if you watch their buying habits, buy a lot of carbohydrates with very little protein. If you notice, the cost of living for food has gone up 25% in the last 5-6 years, whereas the cost of living in terms of salary has stayed pretty stable up to about 5 or 6%, because there hasn't been. In fact, a lot of people are losing money rather than gaining money in their salary. That's why the middle class is disappearing. So we should be, as a school, concerned about the health of our children. If they're going to come to class equipped to learn. We have two fine students here. I just met them, Cristiano and Alex, and they're going to do a great job, I can tell you that, just from the conversation I had. That's a sidebar. But seriously, I'd like to form a committee of ad hoc in the community to explore that we can add to the goals of our school, that we take great interest in making sure our children come to school equipped to learn how important it is to take care of the body that comes here every day so that they can pay attention in class without their blood sugar level going down because they didn't have breakfast, some of them. And those, even though we provide the breakfast, it's not the most adequate one, and I can tell you. I've seen some of the milk and things that they serve are not enough in terms of what children need to be equipped with the energy they need to use to learn. Having been a teacher in a classroom, I could tell you, when 10 o'clock comes and you have students in there that haven't had breakfast, it's pretty hard for them to pay attention. So I wanted to just make that point today, a concomitant with the fact that we should be going up to Albany and speaking to people in health there about how we can incorporate this particular dilemma. A lot of our children come from very, shall we say, challenge parents who don't speak the language because they've been coming here from other countries. These kind of people also need to be educated how important it is for them to succeed in our schools so that they can not have to get special aid in other areas, but at least know that they should be eating good food. So I wanted to point that out today, this evening. I was very touched by the enthusiasm of the people there, about 350 people there from various parts of Suffolk County and Nassau, from Cornell University, if you will, who funded it. And they're doing a great job to incorporate teaching people who lack the interest, not the interest, I shouldn't say that, lacking the knowledge and the awareness of how important it is to cut back on salt and sugars and so on. So when you have economic deprivation, the thing is they can't afford a good steak. They can't afford the kind of things that provide good nutrition in terms of the proteins that they need and the good fats that they have to eat. So I'm very concerned about that. I'm sure you people are too. And I think we should get some kind of a priority on that. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, sir. Okay. All right. That's it on the subcommittees. Okay. Any visitors, Cal? All right. Future agenda items. I'd like to add. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dorothy. You first.
Going back to the subcommittees. I thought, I get asked at some point, some people say, how do you join the Budget Advisory Committee? How do you join the Audit Committee? How do you join the Legislative Committee? Some people don't even know that they exist. So now that we do have a website and we have a Facebook page, I was going to see if the board would be okay with this, is that maybe if we could just put something, and now that it's summertime, people have a little bit more spare time, if we put something on our website or put something on our Facebook page just to say what each committee does, what their goal is, and then if they wanted to join the committee, who to contact. Because right now I think we only have one or two people on the Legislative Committee. The Audit Advisory Committee, we just lost somebody else. There might only be three people on that. And the Budget Advisory Committee I know is probably the most people on at this point, but still not that many. So if we could put it out there a little bit more so people can be interested and want to join, I mean, would anybody be opposed to doing that, to putting it up on our Facebook page?
No, I don't think it's going to be. We could do that, right, Jim? We can add it. Okay. We go the goals of the committees and
yeah, there's just a little blip in there what the committee does, and if you are interested in joining, just who to contact for that committee.
Okay. Bruce, don't we have an application that we could just maybe scan a PDF? It is online?
Put it on the social media.
The blurb of what those committees is actually on there.
I think years ago we used to actually send out a paper or a little. Bruce, didn't we send something out in the mail? It was a mailing. We stopped doing that years ago. So if we could just put it up on Facebook, I think that would help.
Okay. The only thing no one else? I'd like to look into. We have a policy or a direction on use of facilities. It's been done and looked at. I'd like to look at it to possibly revise it. Again, it'll need a night of discussion or part of a night of a discussion. So I'd like to add that to as soon as we can get it on the agenda, because there have been some questions about the facilities and how much is charged and how much is not charged. So I think we ought to look at it as a board to see if the direction we have is the way we want to go. Okay, is that no problem? Okay, we can do that. All right. Anyone else for future agenda? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Timo.
Just a quick comment. And although we covered this earlier in part of the agenda, it's just worth noting, at least personally, Sachem North was the flagship of our fleet, you know, the big flotilla that we call Sachem, for so many years. And it was great, Jim Nolan, while you were captain of that ship, And when you became the admiral and took over as superintendent, it was kind of a scary time. But we were so lucky to find and recruit and get John Dolan to take over as captain of that ship for a good number of years. And now, John, to our loss and to East Islip's benefit, you're the admiral there as superintendent over at East Islip. And now at this point, I think we are so fortunate that Patty is going to end up taken over as the captain of the ship. And I see so many clear sailing days. It may not be easy. The water might be a little rough at times, but we have a good captain on board. And just personally, to all three of you, you know, thank you so much for guiding that ship for so many years.
And again, congratulations, Patty.
A little bit of a motion for Patty because at home she's the general.
Well, thank you again for what you did for us. We appreciate it. Okay, next meeting is scheduled for August 26th, but we may have a meeting the second week. We're looking for another meeting in August. It'll be posted as soon as we get the date set. So the 26th is the next scheduled meeting. A motion to go into exec for personnel matters. Sal, second. Terry, all in favor? Opposed?